Well, good evening, everyone. It is so nice to be out tonight and to hear the prayers of the brethren, each brother, each one that is here. I've really enjoyed the prayer tonight, the prayers tonight. We do have a special assembly in a way. We have to appreciate each one whom God has placed us here. This is our fellowship, our family. And it's good to appreciate it and to just enjoy and to love one another. I've just enjoyed even just sitting here. This has been my home for 16 years. And this is where God has placed me. And I really appreciate each one. And I just want to encourage each one. So anyways, the things I've been thinking tonight, this has been more of a devotional that I've enjoyed the last week, last week and a bit. And something I've been considering my daily reading. And it's been something that I think has been a real challenge for each one of us. And tonight, if you feel like you're drowning, if you feel like you're sinking, things are out of control and you feel like you're sinking, or you might feel like you're not being heard. There might be a brass heaven. There might be you might be crying and you might not be heard. Well, this message is for you. It is something that I know that we might go through things sometimes as a family, or we might go through things as an assembly, or we might go through things sometimes personally that nobody else knows about but ourselves and God. And so tonight there's much comfort. This is a message that I've been thinking about. It's a message of comfort. Can you turn with me, please, in John chapter 14 for one verse in connection to the verses that I'm thinking about. There are three different individuals I'm thinking about in relation to faith tonight, in relation to faith. But before we do this, can you turn with me to John 14, please? John and chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 27. John 14, verse 27. The Lord Jesus here is speaking. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you." And think about this verse here. "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And how many of us here this past week or the weeks past have been afraid or have been feeling our hearts have been troubled. And the Lord Jesus here is speaking to us from his word, his living word. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid." Because why is he saying this? It's so easy. By default, we can easily be afraid, especially when we look around at things around that are happening around us, or we can easily be troubled and easily be afraid. "What time I am afraid, I will trust in you." And think of this year, he says, the Lord Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you." We have a living Savior who says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Let his word be true tonight. Let his words be a comfort to our hearts. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So with those thoughts, that is the verse I want to write over our message tonight. And again, these are just very practical thoughts, very simple thoughts, but may they be encouragement. Can you turn with me, please, to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And here are the disciples. And we know we all enjoy this portion here. When the Lord Jesus quiets the sea, in verse 35 of Mark 4, it says, "And the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full," or filling. "And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that they have no faith? And they were feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" So the first thing I have tonight is the words of the Lord Jesus. How is it? Why are you so fearful? Is a question. That's the question I want to write over this. Why are you so fearful? Of whatever you're fearing, why are you so fearful? And here, when we look at the scenario, they had the promise of the Lord Jesus. They had the presence of the Lord Jesus. They had the protection of the Lord Jesus. He was with them. He had given the promise. He says, let us pass over onto the other side. So they were obedient to him. They had passed over. They obeyed his voice. And they went as he said. And he was in the boat with them, the Lord Jesus. And it says, and there arose it. Now put yourself in the situation here. We often think, well, the living Christ was right there with him. They had seen him feed the multitudes. They had seen him heal the sick and cast out demons in the power of Christ by his just word. And here he is in the boat with them. But the boat is filling up. And that's not a comfortable thing. It's filling up more. And it's filling up more. And it says here in verse 37, it says that it was already filling. And another thing, it says the boat was already full in another gospel. Now, what would you have done in a situation like this? Just remain completely calm? If you actually put yourself in a situation, the winds and the waves are, it's all going, and it's actually filling up and filling up. When's it going to end? What's going to happen? It looks actually, truly, it doesn't look very, it looks very threatening. But the Lord Jesus says, here he says to them, he says, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And that's the first thing I want to speak about is faith. He says to them, how is it that you have no faith? So in his assessment, it's like they had no faith whatsoever in this situation. And we would see, of course, I mean, wasn't the cry that they had faith? They believed that he could, Lord, care us or not that we perish. What were they supposed to do in this situation? The Lord Jesus says, basically, to not be afraid. To not be afraid at all. No matter if the waves, if the boat is filling up over, you're not in jeopardy. No matter what. Like, I mean, what time I am afraid, I will trust you. So fear and faith do not go together, is what we get in this. So he says, why are you so fearful? So fear, they're fearful. How is it that you have no faith? So the answer to fear that we have with Christ's presence, with his promise, with his protection. Like, though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Though there's all this fear all around us. Though the mountains be removed, and actually the thing it be cast into the midst of the sea, I will not be afraid. That's basically here the situation is, how is it they have no faith? So fear and faith, we're learning this, cannot be equally together at the same time. It's either you have faith or you have fear. And that's the answer here, is they would have been able to have absolutely no fear in the midst of such a tremendous storm and a scenario and the predicament that they face themselves. And that just gave me much comfort. Even if we believe not, he abideth faithful. He didn't let them drown. Even though they had no faith, he did not let them go under. He actually rebuked the wind and the seas. He protected them. He came to their aid. He knows our frailty. And that's where we might be finding ourselves this evening, in this scenario where it's like, Master, care us not that we perish. It feels like the situation is out of control. And it feels like we're going to drown. And it's in jeopardy. Our little ship is in jeopardy. But Christ is above the waves. He is stronger. And he says, don't be afraid. He says, why are you fearful? How is it you have no faith? And that's the first one, is no faith, because they had his promise. They had everything. In Christ's eyes, it was like, how can you not? He doesn't understand having no faith. That's one thing the Lord Jesus doesn't understand, them fearing. He says, how? He says, why are you so fearful? That's from Christ's perspective. He says, how can you not trust me? I'm here with you. And that's just something I've enjoyed this past week. And I have failed in this. Actually, even this past week, I remember something coming up, and I was very afraid. And I'm like, how is the Lord going to... This is a real test right now. and the Lord came through. But even though I failed and I was afraid, He was able to calm the wind and the waves, and there was a peace, and there was an answer. There was a great calm. So this is the first lesson we want to learn: is we don't have to be afraid. Why are you fearful? And fear and faith do not go together. So turn with me to the next one, which is in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew and chapter 14. And here's another very similar situation here. It's a different time when it's a little bit later, when the Lord Jesus Christ, again, we find ourselves in the water here. And this is another one. There's a more personal one, more individual disciple here. So in Matthew 14, verse 22, it says here, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up to a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, and the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, and walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked in the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous or violent, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. May God bless this reading as well. So that when earlier it was no faith, the disciples, they had no faith, and the question was, why are you fearful? Well, here we get another question. He says, O thou of little faith. He says, wherefore, this is a question here, wherefore didst thou doubt? Again, if we put ourselves in Peter's shoes, we see the scenario is quite different. I mean, he was walking on the water. He had the invitation. Earlier they had the promise of Christ. Here he has an invitation of Christ. Christ invites him to come. He says, If it be thou, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto you. And the Lord Jesus says, Come, Peter. And Peter stepped out. And we know, I mean, what an act of faith that was, that instance when he stepped out. The Lord caused him to walk on the water. The Lord rewarded his faith. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. And he was doing well. He was walking. Everything was well. He saw Christ. He beheld his face. And as he was looking at the Lord Jesus, everything was calm. Everything was in under control. And he was walking above something that was supernatural. He defied gravity. He defied the laws of nature. He was walking on the water as Jesus was walking the water. You might see above this earth. But there's something happened when he took his eyes off of the Lord Jesus that caused him to stay above the water. Instantly, he went down. He became afraid. It's the first thing that happened. And isn't that true of us? When we take our eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ and we look around, I know that from my own heart, I get afraid. It's the first thing that happens. We look around and it is fearful. But when we look at Christ, everything is so under control. You feel like you're above looking down. It's legitimately, and you have a peace that passes all understanding. And you just behold Christ. As our brother was praying, may we behold him. May we be able to enjoy his presence, abiding in him, looking often to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who's walked this life of faith, and he has overcome. He is the overcomer, and we can behold him. He will surely not let us go down. When we behold him, he doesn't let us sink. That's why I said earlier, do we feel like we are drowning and we're fearful? Well, this is for us. Christ is there, and he says, why are you fearful? A gentle question, why are you fearful? How is it that you have no faith? But here we have an individual who has been walking on the water, took his eyes off of Christ, and he is sinking, and he is going down rapidly. He is afraid. He has taken eyes off of Christ, and he sees everything going on around, and he sinks. And he feels like he is sinking. Literally, he is. Underneath, he is going down, and there's nothing underneath him. And all he can see is someone above him. And he cries out to him, "Lord, save me," in a moment of desperation. And did the Lord Jesus Christ let him go down? Did he allow him? Oh, he didn't have faith. He took his eyes off of me. How dare he? I let you sink a little bit, Lord. No. When he recognized he is going down, he cried out. The Lord's heart is for just someone that cries out to him. He is there to meet him. And it says immediately. And notice both times Christ first addresses the situation and he brings him out of the situation, and then he gently corrects them or encourages them or rebukes them in a slight way. He says both of them. Earlier, he calmed the wind and the waves, and then he said to them. Afterwards, he addresses their situation. Same thing here. He immediately comes to their aid first. And I love this. Both times, before he addresses them, he comes and he rescues them. First, he addresses their heart panic. He sets a calm. And then once their heart is calm, he asks them. It's like always looking back. He says, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" He doesn't say, "Oh, thou of no faith." It's a bit different here. He gave Peter a little faith. You did have faith, but you didn't have to doubt. There's no need to doubt me. How would I let you down, Peter? Would I let you sink? You know my character, that I will never let you sink. If I've asked you to come and you've come, will I let you go down? No, immediately, Peter, the Lord says, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" So we know here that doubt and faith don't go together either. So fear and doubt, and we know how many hymns when doubts and fears arise. I mean, they go together. But here's just two different specific instances here, where there is one that has earlier had no faith, and here we have little faith. And we can take encouragement here. But even though there was little faith, even though there was no faith, Christ still rescued his disciples. He still cares for them. He loves his own, and he will not let them sink. He knows the frailty of man, and he rescues us. Even if we believe not, he abideth faithful, for he cannot deny himself. He is faithful, even if we're faithless at times. And that's why I enjoy this. These are just thoughts, as you can see in my daily readings. There's one that has no faith. There's one that has little faith. But even though you're drowning, even though you're sinking, Christ will not let you go down. I just love this. And turn with me over to the next one. And we read here another one that says, in the same next chapter over, in chapter 15, chapter 15, verse 21. This is not a disciple here, but we can still take a lesson. It says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. So here we have a different scenario. We have a woman of Canaan. We have a Gentile. We have one that is not a disciple here. She is, we would consider her, an unsaved person. And And here we have a scenario that's different. It's not as favorable as the other ones were, where there was a promise, where there was an invitation to come. That's why the Lord Jesus says, no faith. How can you have no faith? I mean, there's just, they had a promise, they had a presence, they had his protection. There's one that had his invitation, and they failed in that way. But here's a woman, and she did not fail. She refused to give up. She had no answer. And that might be you tonight as well. I mean, I just want to use the principle of this, that the principle of this situation, where he did not, there's like a brass heaven. We might see it from our perspective now. there's no answer given. She's just begging. And you might see, I've been begging the Lord. I've been praying on my knees. I've been beseeching him. But there's no answer. And she had a real predicament. Her daughter was grievously vexed with the devil. And she had one opportunity here. She knew, she trusted that this man could. She recognized who he was. Oh, Lord, thou son of David. She recognized that he is the son of David. He is the Messiah. She recognized that he is this, and he was able to heal her daughter. But then the Lord Jesus did not answer her a word. I know dispensationally we can take different aspects of this and how she was not willing. The Lord Jesus first was going to Israel and then later to the Gentiles. But here, this woman, I mean, how she refreshed the heart of Christ. The other two times, the Lord Jesus Christ had to, he answered, but there was always a slight rebuke in a tender way. It wasn't like a great, wow, he had so much faith. And both times that the Lord Jesus says great faith are both Gentiles. Another time there was a centurion whose servant was ill, and he sent to the Lord Jesus. He says, if you just say the word, don't even come under my roof. If you just say the word, and my servant will be healed. You don't have to come. Just say the word. I mean, what faith? And Christ says, such great faith have I not seen in Israel. Such great faith. So he gives them, he says, great faith. And here this woman, the Lord Jesus Christ, does not answer her. And Christ knew that he was going to answer her. It sounds so not like the Lord Jesus. Other times he immediately answers, and he never ever turned one away. This would be the only one. If he did not answer this woman, this would have been the only time when Christ would not have heard anyone. It would have been the only time there would have been no answer to someone that seeks him, to someone that asks him. He every single time, according to the word of God, in the narratives of the gospel, he never once turns one away. He never turns away a thief on the cross. He never turns away a woman that touches the hem of his garment. He never turns away a beggar. He never turns away a tax collector. He never turns away a Pharisee. Anyone that comes, he never, never. He says, then that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. I will never reject them, nor will I eject them. I will never turn them away. Even the people that didn't ask after him. We think of the multitudes that came. The Lord Jesus had compassion on them. He says, I will not even send them away fasting. That's without them even asking for food. He has compassion on them. He is over and abundant, above people even asking him. He addresses their needs. He knows their needs, and he provides for them. And here, never mind this woman here coming. I mean, when you read, if you stop at verse 23, he answered her not a word. I mean, it's so unique to Christ. But he was drawing out something in her. He was drawing out faith. And he knew that this woman would not give up. And she didn't. She does. The disciples are like saying, "Send her away." She's crying. Or she's crying after us. If the master's not answering, I will go after the disciples. My need, he will answer. And later on, she says, and we know how it goes here. How she refused. The Lord says, "I will not. I'm not sent, but unto a lost sheep in the house of Israel." And she says. And then she just cries, Lord, help me. Help me. Anything, just help me, Lord. And Jesus said to her, it is not meet. He says, it is not good to take the children's bread, which is the Jewish people, the Israel, and give it unto Gentile dogs. and to cast it onto dogs. And she says, Lord, yes, I'm a dog. Whatever, I am a dog. She humbles herself. She says, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat from the crumbs which fall from their master's table. She's like, I'm not giving up. I refuse to let go. I refuse to. I'm going to be blessed. And you are going to bless me. And that's when Jesus, the Lord Jesus, and it rejoices his heart. You can see, oh woman, he says, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And I mean, the Lord, he is so, without faith, it is impossible to please him. So it doesn't matter what situation we are in. It really doesn't. It does not matter where we find ourselves, that faith can triumph in every situation. Here, it looked very bleak from her perspective. But Christ will never, and it's such a wonderful story because he rewards her with great faith. She gets the reward, a commendation of the Lord Jesus Christ, which his disciples, they never got. Peter never got that, nor did the disciples, with such privilege. But here's someone who the situation was quite bleak for her, and she refused. Like it reminds me of Jacob in the Old Testament, how he was wrestling with the angel, how he was wrestling with the angel there, and he wrestled till the break of day, and he is complete. Even though the angel just touches his hip, his hip, and it was out of joint. That's afterwards. He refused to let go, even afterwards. He says, I will not let thee go till you bless me. And that's the situation here, this woman here. I will not let you go till you bless me. That's weak, each one of us, whatever situation we are in, not to let go till he blesses us. The Lord Jesus will answer, like this woman, great faith. And that's just an encouragement for us that he longs for great faith. Being strong, like Abraham, being strong in faith, giving glory to God. And I know we live by faith. We ought to walk by faith, the Bible says. But here's instances in our lives when faith is tested. And each of those times, faith was tested. It wasn't just like everyday life. It was a storm for two of them. One was a storm. Another one was where he was walking on the water. Another one was here, this woman whose daughter was vexed. And she needed it to be just such a predicament in her life. She needed an answer. She refused to let go. And what is your dear brother, dear sister? What are your situations in your life? Are we fearful? Are we doubting? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Right now, the living Christ. It's the same word. It's the same Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So he is with us. Even whether we might perceive him or not perceive him, he is with us. And we can trust in him. And are we those who might feel like we have a brass heaven, that there is no answer? Even like we think of Hannah and how she, year after year, she came to the house of the Lord. It was this vexation of spirit. And she was not heard year after year. It says year after year she came, and to the point where she just broke. She could not go on, but she refused to let go, and God blessed her. And I just want to encourage our hearts, each one of us, because we need encouragement. We need to be strengthened in faith tonight from the living Christ. The living Christ right now wants to address our fears. He wants to address our doubts. And he wants to come alongside and gently tell us, why are you fearful? Wherefore do you doubt? Do you not trust my character? Do you think I'm going to let you drown? Do you think I'm going to let, I don't see your situation, I do. And you might feel like you're in jeopardy. But you know what, there's a hymn I would have loved to sing. I know it was in the other believer's hymn book, our old believer's hymn book, which it's one of my favorite hymns. And I really am saddened that it isn't in there anymore because I would have sang it tonight. And we haven't sung it very often, but I do know it by heart, but I have it written down here. It's by one of my favorite hymn writers, John Newton, the one that wrote Amazing Grace. And I've had a privilege, me and Jemima, we had a privilege last year to go and to see his gravestone, and where he wrote all his hymns, the museum, the church where he was in, And at his gravestone, I really appreciate him because he's one of my favorite, absolute favorite hymn writers. So many of his hymns have spoken to my heart, directly to my experience. And this is one of my favorite ones. It says, "Be gone, unbelief, my Savior is near." And look how applicable it is to what we've been saying. "And for my relief will surely appear. By prayer let me wrestle, and he will perform. With Christ in the vessel, I smile at the storm. Though dark be my way, since he is my guide, 'tis mine to obey, 'tis his to provide. Though cisterns be broken and creatures all fail, the word he has spoken will surely prevail. His love in times past forbids me to think. He will leave me at last in trouble to sink. Each sweet Ebenezer," I love this, "I have in review in the past, confirms his good pleasure to help me quite through. Why should I complain of want or distress, temptation or pain? He told me no less. The heirs of salvation I know from his word, through much tribulation, must follow their Lord. How bitter that cup no heart can conceive, which Jesus drank up that sinners might live. His way was much rougher and darker than mine. Did Jesus thus suffer, and shall I repine? Since all that I meet shall work for my good, the bitter is sweet, the medicine is food. Listen to this. Though painful at present, 'twill cease before long, and then, oh, how pleasant the conqueror song." And each one of us want to be conquerors. We don't want to go out being having been overcome. We want to go out having conquered, having been an overcomer by faith. And this is what will overcome is our faith. Even our faith, John says, this is which overcomes the world, our faith. So we can trust in him. And with this, let us close.